Yeah, probably from start to finish quite a long time, but we first sat down in June, myself and Delia and Michael, and they said, listen, we want to look at your contract. And I said, yeah, no problem. And we sorted out there, and then in 10 minutes, the sort of, let's say, the meat of it. But then we put it to a side because there's more important things to do. You know, we had a lot of players to sort out. We had players to try and sign and facilities to finish. And to be honest, more important things than my contract. You know, that I had their word, they had my word. That was enough. You know, that was binding enough for both parties to go, right, we can deal with this at a later date. So, yeah, so it ended up taking sort of quite a while to finally get there. But, you know, we're there now. And, it's a nice feeling. It's probably a bigger story for other people than myself. You know, I didn't really want to be doing any media about talking about myself, if I'm totally honest. But it is what it is, and I'm happy and looking forward to the next 3 years.
So this was always coming, that there was never any doubt in your mind that you were going to sign this at some point?
Oh no, 100%. You know, the biggest thing for me was I wanted to put a time frame on the length of it, because, you know, I love it here. I've had 2 great years here. I'll be forever grateful for the support of Delia and Michael, the rest of the board, and the patience and the faith that they've shown in you know, what's been quite a big job for us to sort of do. And so, but I wanted to have a time frame to work to, in terms of knowing that that will then probably be the end. And you know, as a club, we can work towards that. Obviously, if the club decide to end it sooner, I can't do a lot about that. But you know, from my side now, that's it sorted. I'll be here for 3 years. It doesn't matter what other things come up, because obviously things do come up, and a lot has the last couple of years, and it, annoyingly, you have to constantly deal with that. Sometimes it gets in the media, sometimes it doesn't. And I just wanted to have something which would give me the ability to say to people, listen, I've got a contract, I need to respect it, and I will respect it. Okay, if the club changes, you know, I can't do anything about that. But from my side, that's what I was sort of desperate for, and Dealer and Michael were really willing, and I'm grateful for them for that. I'm just really looking forward to getting on with it.
You can never tell with football. I mean, we know that from the last few years with Norwich City. But as far as you're concerned, 3 years, that's what you're going to give to Norwich City now, and that probably will be it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, who knows, because 3 years is a long time in football. But definitely from my side, you know, that was the most important thing for me. You know, once I give somebody my word, I'll stay for that length of time, I'll stay. If the club don't want me to stay, that's different, and I'm not going to answer on behalf of the club, because a lot can happen between now and then. I'm sure if we got relegated 3 times in a row, they might not want me to stay. And I respect that. But listen, from my side, definitely, after that, who knows? You know, never say never on anything. But you know, I've always been quite open with that I want to try and work abroad, and I want to do that while my son's at an age that he gets the maximum benefit of that, you know, of being able to learn a language and stuff. And you know, in 3 years he'll be 6. If I sit here today, yes, I would very much expect in 3 years that'll be it for me at Norwich. But hopefully it'll be remembered for some quite good stuff.
Well, it certainly has been incredible, that the last year or so in particular. In terms of what you wanted to achieve when you joined the club, the project, how far along are you?
We've achieved a lot, you know, and a lot of, you know, that's down to a lot of people, you know. And unfortunately, in sport, only a few people actually end up getting the plaudits, and fortunately, I may be one of them, but also unfortunate, because there's so many unsung heroes that people don't see the work that Ben Kensel puts in, or Zoe, or Ed Reamer, Daniel Farker's assistant, or Ed Wooten, a goalkeeper coach. People don't see that, and it's a shame. But then likewise, you know, when it goes wrong, it's, you know, it's myself and Daniel who quite rightly then get the stick, and so you know you get sort of both. But I think we've achieved a lot, but I still think we've got so much to achieve. And that was the most exciting thing when I sat down with Delia and Michael. It was, right, if you think this is enough, then that's not enough for me. Because, you know, as I've always said from day one, if you just want to be average, then don't get out of bed in the morning. I can't be doing with that. So I think we've still got loads to achieve. I've got loads of things that I need to develop myself and get better at. I've let people down in the last 2 years and not been good enough in certain areas. And I've got to get better at that. And, you know, we've still got so much to achieve. You know, the training ground's not finished. We're not established in the Premier League. We've got nowhere near, you know, winning anything other than the Championship or whatever. So we've got loads to do, and we can't stand still. We've got to, you know, but we've got to drive, and that's got to be the whole club, not just us. It's got to be the supporters as well. You know, we can't have, let's not be remembered for a league title and a great win against Man City. No, let's make that normal in terms of days like we had on Saturday at Carrow Road. The fans should be pushing even more to make this a place like Stoke used to be in terms of in the Premier League, where all the big clubs hated going there because of the atmosphere. Okay, maybe the football as well, but in terms of the atmosphere. So, you know, we've got loads to do together, and I ask everyone to join us on that journey because I think it'll be exciting. I think we've built up enough trust between all of ourselves now, you know, whether that's you guys in the media, the supporters, the staff here, the players, that I think we all know we all want the same thing. So it's like, let's constantly drive for that, because I think if the minute we stop, it'll go backwards quite quick, and we can't allow that to happen because too much, you know, hard work's been put in so far.
To finish with then, one of those terrible job interview questions about where you see yourself in this club in 3 years' time, from what you're saying, still in the Premier League, more established, that the training ground finished, and a good cup run, possibly even a trophy along the way, that you'd consider that a success if you had those three things?
Yeah, of course, yeah. If we're in the Premier League and won a cup, that'd be probably more than a success. But I think it's building on, you know, we've got to get more debuts, we've got to get more players from the academy, we've got to get a better culture, we need to get a better atmosphere, we need to get better with fan engagement, we need to get better at, you know, how our players interact with supporters, how our staff interact. We've got to get better in terms of, you know, our recruitment. You know, we've made too many recruitment mistakes in the last year. Yeah, we get lauded for the great things, but, you know, it's the things which we didn't get right. Ben Marshall, it hurts me more than the success of someone really good, if I'm honest. So, you know, we've got so many things we need to improve because, yeah, the club has come a long way, but I still feel like we've got so far to go, and success will be if we continue down that road, and then, you know, then it's about finding someone better than me to make it better again, and better than Daniel maybe to make it better, and better than the players. And, you know, because, you know, we need this club to look back in 30 years and us be seen as people who do a good job for the club, not the best ever job for the club. It's got to be, you know, we need to be, my son's a Norwich fan now, I want to be able to come to football with him in 40, 50 years and see a really thriving, successful club, not a club remembered for something which happened in 2019, the day we beat Man City. You know, it can't be remembered for that.
Well, we are speaking to you in the aftermath of Man City, so you have mentioned how good the atmosphere has been, but to take you back right to the start, how much the atmosphere at Carrow Road has grown, that really sort of reached a new high on Saturday, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, on Saturday, people said after the game, oh, you know, one of the best atmospheres we've seen at Carrow Road. I've got to say it's one of the best atmospheres I've seen anywhere, you know, and I've been fortunate to watch football around the world, and, you know, we've got to harbour that and take that because we need that. You know, it's, I know they're saying the 12th man's too easy to chuck out, but it is important because Carrow Road can be intimidating to play. Not from a hate point of view, it's not a load of people in Stone Island jackets and Burberry caps, but from a, you know, it's tight, it's loud, it's colourful point of view. And then, you know, and yeah, they made a massive difference. And you're right, it's come a long way. I remember, I commented on early on, I remember the game I first met Dylan and Michael was Barnsley at home, we won 2-0. And I think Josh or Jacob Murphy, whoever it was, hit a shot out and it went for a throw-in and the whole ground were basically laughing at him. Right. There was no atmosphere. It was not a great, particularly great place to come and watch football. People didn't look entertained. They looked bored. Yeah. You know, remember the Burton midweek game in our first year, you know, where Cuttle, I think, actually fell asleep. I was dealing with Michael. But, so yeah, it's come a long way, but it's so important. We can't rest on that now. It's a bit like we can't rest on beating Newcastle or beating Man City or whatever. We've got to keep going, and I urge it's the same for the supporters because they've been brilliant. And but I think any supporter would surely say it's more enjoyable watching it in that atmosphere than when it's not. So you can, you know, you can really affect it.
You must have been, obviously you're in sort of charge of the group with Daniel. You must have been proud of how he and the players pulled together so well in adversity, really, against the champions of England to get that result. You must have felt proud sitting watching that.
Yeah, I was for sure. Immensely proud, you know, but without sounding arrogant, not overly surprised, because I know we've got a top coach who will work in the Champions League. So it's like, you know, I turned up at that game, not nervous at all, thinking, you know, people are going to get battered 9-0 or whatever. Not one sentence in my head. It was like, well, we might lose the game. Probably will lose a game because of who they are, but you know, when you see how much he works and the detail and stuff, it's like, well, we'll have a plan of giving ourselves the best chance of getting something out of it. And then you look at the group of players and you think, well, we have actually got some really good players. And probably the aftermath of the game and the overexcitement about the result from the more than national media, because I appreciate the local media it's doing to our fans, right? But the national media, I've actually been mildly offended by the sort of shock as if it was the biggest draw ever. I mean, Wigan Athletic beat them 2 years ago in League One. That's a shock. Not us, we're in the same league as them. So it was Yeah, I got to say, it was mildly offended by it. And I remember speaking to a couple of the players after the game going, that's how rubbish they think we are, that it's almost like the biggest miracle ever. And I don't mean, that's right, I think we've got good players and we've got a good way and the rest of it. Whether that's enough to keep us up or whatever, we don't know, because we know we're, you know, as Daniel says, we're climbing Everest without certain tools and whatever. But yeah, we're not hopeless, are we? And I think, you know, we need to sort of save that a little bit and use that as, you know what, let's keep proving people wrong and let's really enjoy the fact that we can prove people wrong. But along the way, it's going to be tough. You know, if you look at the upcoming games, I know people will go on paper, they're easier games, but it's really hard to win a Premier League game, and three out of the next four are away. And you look at the two Burnley strikers, you look at the Palace wingers, you look at Villa spending 140 million quid, you'd expect, you know, something back for that. And then you look at Bournemouth, who are, you know, a top 10 established Premier League side now. Like, they're really tough games, and if you're not at it 100%, you get hurt whoever we're playing. And you know, we need to make sure that we are at it. I think hopefully now we've proven to ourselves and the players have proven to themselves that we can win games at this level. We've won two already, two very different type of games, but we've won two already. So hopefully that gives the confidence that we can give this a really good go and not just, you know, lie down and be, you know, sort of laughed at as little old Norwich.
Okay, you're still a young man, you're only 35, so what you've just been talking about in terms of, you know, wanting to work abroad and things like that, what have you learned about yourself in this 2 years? Do you feel like you personally have evolved a great deal in or two and a bit years?
Yeah, probably learned to, you know, be a little bit less emotional, a little bit more considered with what I say. I know I'll still say stupid things at times, but definitely learned to be more, show more humility. You know, Delia and Michael, I have to thank for that, because they're unbelievable people. You know, I've seen us get battered places where I just want to go and punch anyone I can see, and, you know, and shout at someone or whatever. And the way they gracefully take defeats and the way they act, you think, oh, that's class. You know, I need to be more like that. Definitely haven't cracked that yet, but certainly need to be more like that. Also learn to be resilient. You know, I look back at the year, the first year was hard, was incredibly hard. Everyone questioning us. And I understand why. You know, you question yourself as to, are we doing the right things? Are we ever going to turn this around? Are we going to give what our supporters deserve? Are we going to give what our staff deserve? What our owners deserve? You know, they back us with so much passion and belief. So, yeah, I'd probably say, you know, resilience has been a key thing. And then probably, you know, it's one of our mantras, ignore the noise. You learn that a lot as well. If you believe in what you do as a group of people and stuff, you've got to ignore what other people say, because, you know, after Saturday, you know, we're going to stay up easy. We lose the next game, we're the worst team again in the Premier League, and we should have spent a load of money. We have to be the neutral and block that out and just go on a steady line. And I think, you know, I've learned that a lot. But yeah, it's been great, you know, and I've been really fortunate. I've worked with amazing people. I've worked with amazing owners who let you learn and let you make mistakes, because as I always talk about, you know, I've made so many, too many, to be honest, when I reflect. But it's a club and it's owners who get that, and they let you, as long as they're honest mistakes, that, you know, they let you make them. And I think that's, you know, I'm really lucky to have that in my job, because there's so many people who do my job who don't get that. Maybe they get one mistake and then they're sacked, or they get some work taken off them, or they have to do something else. And, you know, I know I'm lucky for that, and I never take that for granted. And so hopefully I'll learn a bit more in the next 3 years, but hopefully make some less mistakes.
Just finally, and then we'll let Daniel take centre stage. In terms of the opening press conference, that first day you came here, April 2017, and spoke to us all in the Porter cabin, yeah. You said about wanting to create a very clear identity. I was looking back on the quotes this morning. How far do you feel you are into achieving that? Do you feel it's already done, or is there still plenty of work to be done?
No, I think we've achieved it, but I think it's grown much. When I look back two and a bit years ago, I was probably thought about the pitch and what the paying supporter would come and watch and see the team play. Listen, Daniel's cracked that and some, you know, it's clear now we've got our way, and that's what it is. Yeah, of course you can get better and develop, blah, 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 but, you know, it's clear it is what it is. But I think over time what's been great is how it's grown, I think, more into the identity of the club, and how people have caught on to the football and taken on, whether it's fan groups, whether it's Ben Kensel, whether it's commercial team, whether it's the media team. We're almost like managed to create this really big club identity now, not just about how the team plays on the pitch. And I think that's been great, and I think that can continue to grow, and I think we can create something really special here, and I think we can be the envy of a lot of clubs, because, you know, football fans want transparency, they want honesty from their, from the people who run their clubs, they want to see the club go in a certain way, but they want that to be communicated, and I think we've still got a lot of work to do with that, but I also think we've grown so much in that area that, you know, I'd like to think as a Norwich fan at the minute, win, lose or draw, you'd go, actually we're getting quite a good deal because the club's, you know, doing the right things. What I've got to do is continue to grow that now and not stand still. You know, I urge the people that, you know, at the Barclay end with their flags, get that around the stadium. Come on, that's the challenge. Not, yeah, it looks great, cup time, massive flag, looks nice. Yeah, no, it does. And listen, from where we've come from to now is amazing. But it's like, oh, let's make the whole ground like that, you know, and then let's get it away. And you know, it's got to be that. But that's, I mean, that's a club, you guys, supporters, everyone working together. And I think, you know, we've got a lot of work to do on that still. But I also think, God, we've taken some huge steps. You know, when you walk into Carrow Road now, you can feel it. And other people, other clubs talk to you about it, or guests come and they go, yeah, oh, you can feel it. It's the club's together. And I think when you're together, you can literally achieve anything. We proved that last year. We've got to continue that. And we can't just get lazy with it and can't go, yeah, it's all right now. And fan integration's been great for a bit. Yeah, we've got a good atmosphere. It's like, no, what's next? What's next? What's next? You know?